Do not let perfectionism hold you back. Do not let it hold you back, especially if you're feeling the call, the ping, it's strong and it's getting stronger. Do not let that hold you back.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn.
Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. And today we're doing another episode of The Process. And we thought it would be fun. We're up here at the retreat house. Many of you have maybe been following on Instagram. It's finally completed in the interior, though we have a couple of other phases going on. So as we're here, we wanted to all record an episode for you guys that we find questions that come in a lot. And the theme this month is self-worth. So we thought we could go over a few categories of self-worth, mainly career. That seems to be a lot of the topics we get. So we'll go ahead and kick that off.
Per usual, I'm going to kick this episode off with a My Magnetic Story. I did partnership back in February, encountered a few tests, and then all of a sudden, 4 months later, met an absolutely fantastic man on Hinge of all places. We've been dating for 2 months, and though we haven't had the official boyfriend-girlfriend conversation yet, this has been such a wonderful, exciting, and refreshing experience for me. The photo, which was featured in this, our Facebook group, but you don't see it here because you're just hearing me read this, says, it was from one of my journaling sessions while doing partnership. And as I get to know this man more and more, he continues to check items off the list and one that should have been on there, like a great sense of humor. One of the things I've learned about myself during partnership was that I was really afraid no one would bother to get to know the authentic me, pursue me, and stay interested. But I also had to challenge myself to fully stand into my worth and really show the real me, rather than adjusting myself to whomever I was around. It's been a really beautiful experience to have someone pursue me and for me to feel comfortable enough to be known fully. It still feels early and who knows how things will turn out, but I can really already tell you that this dating relationship has been a huge expander for me in the best way. And I've learned that partnership is truly equal parts what you're calling in, as well as what the authentic energy you're putting out into the world is. I love this. And in fact, I'm not even going to bring up another trigger because this is so pertinent to this month's theme, which is self-worth. And I really have to hammer it in the head. You're going to hear a lot of this in the episode after this, but self-worth is the subconscious projection. Like the true law of attraction is what we're projecting from our subconscious that is so in our self-worth, meaning that we feel so truly valuable for who we are, whole and authentic, so worthy of that, that we can sit back, kick back, and realize that what we want after doing all of that work to reach back to that place that we were truly born from, that we were born with, had we have not experienced any pain, shame, or trauma that makes us create a shadow or an ego shell to project something different to be safe. So if we can live and project from that place in our subconscious that's whole, worthy, and totally feeling like we can kick back, anything we want is coming our way, that's when we reach what's truly considered surrender. So you'll hear a lot in manifestation, New Age jargon, I like to call spiritual bypass, where it's like, when you can really surrender and release, that's when the thing will come. So I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time with that old manifestation superstition. And I would try to do that and really try to let the thing go that I was calling in. And I tried to like not think about it and know it was coming my way. And I would pretend that it was coming to me, but really let it go. When they say surrender, I just want to highlight that what's really going on, you can continue to think about what you want. You can continue to pursue it. But unless on a subconscious level, you've done the work to feel so in your power, so comfortable with who you authentically are, and knowing that who that is special enough that what you want, you will not have to settle. It's coming for you. That is the ultimate surrender. So whether in the conscious state, you're spiritual bypassing and being like, I'm letting the thing go, I'm releasing so it can come to me, doesn't matter. If you don't have that going on subconsciously, it won't be coming through in that way. So I love the way that this was written. For the first time, jumping off of a cliff to really be her truly authentic self and show up that way, no matter how scary it is, and to not adapt to that ego dance in order to be liked. Why is she so magnetic? Bam, that's when something comes through, whether this turns out to just be an expander and a final magic dark test, which I'm assuming it's probably parlaying into something greater, or if it's the real deal. But that's what's creating her magnetism and doing the real work through partnership, which is in the pathway. So today's episode is another version of the process, which we're going to be doing every so often, because I think it will help each person know how to highlight the work that you're doing and what you're going through, and to make it relatable or implement it into what you're up to. And in this particular process, we went ahead and recorded it up at the retreat house when the whole team was there. And we're really focusing on self-worth, especially in business. So I think that this will be incredibly expansive for anybody who's thinking of pivoting out of a career, of becoming an entrepreneur or self-employed, or going into the freelance space, or about climbing in the career you're already in, how to get into a career, find your value and worth. We talk about money. We talk about pivoting. And it really, really centers on that exact thing that I was just highlighting, self-worth in business and career. So enjoy. So let's kick off this topic in conversation with what has been coming up in self-worth for each of us lately, just what we're dealing with. And I think a lot of people can resonate, because I think we're all dealing with the common. I'm going to kick it off with you, Grace. Grace is our graphic designer and our marketing strategist and brand strategist and all sorts of other titles. What's coming up for you?
I feel like with self-worth, I've been doing a lot of thinking around how self-worth ebbs and flows. And when you're feeling super confident and totally in your worth, that's one thing. And then as different things come up, do you let that totally knock you down? And how do you get back into that place of feeling like totally worthy? And I feel like self-worth is something that should be constant and continuous and unwavering, regardless of the circumstances you're in. And obviously that's like a very high aspiration and it's tough to get there. But I've been trying to notice more frequently like what things knock me down and then how to get back to the place where I am feeling totally worthy and totally confident and happy with where I am. So I think that's been like the common theme.
And Caitlin, who many of you have spoken to before, she covers so many things in the brand as well.
So for me, I feel like because we were talking a little bit about categories before we started recording, and I think it's something for me that there's different categories in my life where I feel like I have more self-worth than others, which I'm kind of trying to navigate and figure out why there's certain aspects of my life where there's just no question and the worth just is so constant and high, and other areas feel like it comes in waves of feeling really good and feeling really low. So I've been trying to navigate that.
What would be examples?
So recently, I think the biggest one for me is like, I feel pretty good across the board, except for how I've been like talking to myself lately, and especially around the bike body image that came up. And that's not something that has been triggered in me for like years. So I've been trying to figure out why all of a sudden it's being like that switch has flipped on again for me, and why I've been so much harder, and why the trigger of like when I'm in a yoga class, I'm trying to push myself harder to like do something than instead of just like being in the moment and honoring that my body can even do the pose that we're doing, or just with food, like my relationship with food. So it's been really interesting to have that trigger come up again after being dormant for so long.
Oh yeah. I think especially woman on the planet can deal with that, and men as well. And Lila, everyone knows Lila.
Back. I mean, it's pretty similar, I would say, but it's a lot about figuring out where I hold my worth. I think I haven't been super conscious about where I really source my self-worth from within myself, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know yet if it's fully from, like, you know, having other people enjoy my company, or I mean, these are more superficial, like maybe more programmed ways of finding self-worth, but like uncovering what it is that makes me feel in my worth, and then figuring out like the deeper root to that and why that makes me feel more secure in myself, and then using that to like lead from that place rather than.
Do you have an example?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out, but I don't know if it's from like, I don't know. I'm trying to decipher the difference between like what I think should make me feel good about myself, like traveling to all these different places. Like, is that really what I feel like makes me an interesting person or makes me feel in my worth? Or is that just because I feel like societally, that's not the right word, but if that just like is what I've been programmed to believe makes someone an interesting in their worth person,
sure.
Is someone who feels detached from like anything physical, or I don't know. I'm kind of in this weird place where I feel like I'm finally getting 2 feet on the ground, and now it's all about like really discovering where I can really source my worth from, and what is more like what has been programmed and what is truly authentic.
Awesome. And I think everybody in Unblocked is probably, you know, taking inventory of that. So relatable. And Kate?
I've been thinking about the difference between self-worth and achievement, or like things I'm proud of myself for, because I think we can be really proud of ourselves for things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're like in our worth about them, because it can also be things that aren't necessarily like the best for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Kate's doing a really interesting thing. Maybe we should share what you shared last night on the new moon.
Yeah,
I think it's such cool. It's so introspective.
Well, because I'm sort of at this place right now where I'm not exactly sure what my next move is and sort of what I want to be in this world type of thing, which I think everybody can relate to no matter what age you are. But I started during the DIs starting to like visualize myself at age 50 and sort of thinking, what type of person do I want to be? What do I want to have contributed? Or even what kind of people do I want to mentor at that point? And who do I want to be like passing my legacy on to? So it's been a really cool exercise to do. What is the name of the DRE?
The Clarity one.
Yes.
Which is free on the site. If you go up to manifestation at the tab, you can go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, an interesting thing that came up, I went on Chloe Garcia Ponce's retreat in Tulum. And my whole intention there was to completely drop my ego and be fully present, because it was a place where I didn't really have to work. I didn't have to do anything but be on a beach and with, you know, these other new people I've never met aside from Chloe. And a really interesting thing was when I let go completely, I really became present and vulnerable. I started to realize how much I hinge my worth on all of the habits I do, all of the ego dance that we do. You know, we talk about that a lot in the Authentic Roadmap, but it really brought a whole new layer of how much facade I have to be cool or be strong. I have so much protection, you know, because I think when I was young, I was an only child and I was passed around from house to house. So I really had to develop this armor. And so while I was there, it was so humbling to be like, nobody here knows who I am. I don't know anybody. Like, I don't have friends. I don't have connections. I don't have a relationship to fall back on. I'm certainly not going to put that on Chloe because I'm in her retreat. And so I'm not going to put any energy on her. I know she has to hold all the space. And the first 2 days were extremely humbling. And so that's what I've been taking a really deep look at all of that, like how to tone my ego dance down more and become even more authentic, because we all know that brings a lot of the magnetism. So that's been really interesting. And then another thing that's been really interesting is up here, you know, in my hometown, now that this place is built and, you know, it's a really beautiful space, not many places like this exist. And there's been a whole adjustment of me being comfortable with that, like comfortable with it, owning it and being okay. Like when the contractors are here or, you know, anybody who's helping with the house comes and I'm like, oh, what are they thinking? You know, they must think I'm weird or this, they must think this is really expensive, even though it's not that expensive and all of this stuff. It's made me have the same shadow I had when I was younger, when I would look at other people or nice things and things like that, that I would, you know, be like, I would have cast all of this projection and judgment. And I think what I'm reeling with is the mirror of knowing that I'm none of those things, but worrying that they're casting that on me. So those are the two self-worthy things I'm working towards because I can feel manifestations wanting to come through, but my feet aren't on the ground with this retrograde and just finishing this construction. So that's been a really interesting thing to look at. And I think we all kind of touched on it a little bit, but does anybody else want to jump in and explain right now, just so that everybody can relate to it, what we're all hinging our self-worth on at the moment the most? Like our ego dances?
Well, this made me think of something that I'm also going through that didn't register until just now, but since I keep talking about it, but since I got my new apartment in a new community and I'm making all these new friends, I haven't been thrown into a new environment like this since college where you are in, I mean, I'm still in LA, but if you know LA, you know that if you move from the east or the west side to the east side, you're pretty much in a different country.
It's like east and west coast.
Yeah. And none of my friends are on the east side. So it's like I'm in a city all by myself. And starting to meet these people who I feel like are doing really cool things and they're crazy expanders for me, but it's like trying to not, you know, thinking they're cool and putting on this like ego dance and trying to like become like do the same photography that they're doing because it's super artsy or like, you know, want to write the same things that they're writing because I feel like they're writing really cool things. Like how to not get sucked into like feeling like I need to become this like this person that I'm not just because I'm getting wrapped up in this new community. And it's really been interesting to take a step back and it's only really sinking in right now because, you know, in college, it's like you're kind of coming up with your identity and you don't really know who you are and you're thrown into this new experience and you start to learn more about yourself. But I feel like since then, I've been out of college for a bit now and I feel like I've become to know who I am and I'm really learning who I am. And now I'm just kind of like building that outward identity. But now being thrown into that situation again, it's like, how do I hold on to where I'm like learning my worth lives and how do I not let that change?
Absolutely.
It's been really interesting. So I don't know if I have much advice on that, but it's just been an interesting journey to embark on.
Well, it really made me realize too, how important it is to truly put ourselves out of our comfort zone because that's where we can really get the mirror and look at who I have work to do there. Like
yeah,
I'm not totally out of the ego dance or I'm not fully expanded or you know, all that kind of validation-y things that keep us feeling illusion. It's an illusion that we're safe, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the exact same thing that I've been experiencing like with the illness thing. And one of the biggest gifts of it is that it, like has taken me out of my comfort zone in so many of the tangible and physical ways that I thought were so integral to who I was. Because I always thought because I'm so energetic and can do and all of these things, I thought that was just a part of who I was. So I took it for granted, but I don't think I realized how much of my worth was wrapped up in that. And then also like Caitlin was saying some of like the body image stuff, because like I've gained a lot of weight because of the Hashimoto's. And so that stuff is all like, all of a sudden I don't know how to show up in the world because I don't feel like myself. And so I think that's where I'm learning, you know,
absolutely
to show up more,
which is so exciting. It's so hard, but so exciting.
Totally.
You know, overcome to slay these blocks and, you know, these
so
things.
Humbling, like you were saying,
which is a word that I love to, I don't love to experience, but I sure love to grow magnetism from.
Totally.
I think that's such a place we can dig for magnetism is putting ourselves into very humbling experiences. Well, should we pivot into the entrepreneurial or moving into freelancing space and just talking about worth and career and money in general? Let's start to talk about people's tips at this table, because we all are technically freelancers at this point. We've made those pivots. And also this is applicable for somebody who's on the corporate career track who actually loves that. It's just tips in general about how to follow your bliss and, you know, find success from it, essentially. What would be the tips that you all have of how you jumped from your jobs that maybe you disliked or had failures at, and how you expanded into what you're doing now or on track to be doing? I'll let anybody take the floor.
Yeah, I can jump in. So before I was freelancing, I started last January down the total freelance track. I was working at a startup and I was wearing many different hats and everyone thought I was doing a good job and this, that, and the other, but I came to find out like how much money other people were making, unfortunately or not. And I started thinking about my contribution versus other people's contribution, my salary versus theirs, and just seeing it wasn't always aligned. So even if I felt like I was doing well at work, I wasn't necessarily being valued for that. And I felt like as a freelancer, I was kind of like totally in control of the amount of money I made, the amount of impact I made, how other people saw me. And so it was a difficult decision, because when I was decided to leave that job, they like tried to throw all this money at me. And then of course, like your parents and everyone are like, that's great. Like you've got to stay. Yeah. Like who else would be willing to pay you this much? And like I'm like an Aries manifester and my mom is like a Taurus generator and she's all like, you can't, like you're never going to be able to make this much money. And like I was getting all of this kind of programming thrown at me, but obviously I'm like, hell no, like I can make as much money as I want.
You're like, I'm young.
Yeah, like let's go for it. And for context, I'm a graphic designer, brand strategist. I kind of have that like slew of tools in my arsenal. So against like everybody's better judgment, I just like decided to leave. And it was like meeting after meeting after meeting, like carrot dangling this title and this amount of money. And I stuck with it. And then when I kind of broke through that, that same company was willing to employ me as a contractor and pay me double what I was making on salary in a month. And then I had other clients. So just in like the first like 4 months of freelancing, I already made my salary from last year. And I feel like really sticking to my guns and staying in my worth there and not kind of getting discouraged by what friends and parents and everything said about it, because it is like an unconventional path and nobody really knows what they're doing, created all the more magnetism. So I think that's like my number one tip is if you're thinking of making the transition, like you have to make the decision and then you have to stick to it. And you can't ask other people their opinions because everyone's coming from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And it totally kills your buzz if you listen to your mom and she does not know what's going on. So I think that's my number one tip if you're thinking of kind of making the jump.
I have like a little bit of an expanding story on that. When I was the preschool teacher at the most horrific toxic job, it's like where I had all my adrenal issues come from, or maybe they were precursors to it. But anyways, long story short, it was horrific. And I had been a waitress all my life up until that point. And when I was leaving, and I'll give, you know, some context to that, I was only making $4,000 a month, but that was, you know, being taxed. So essentially, I think I was making like $3,200 a month and I had benefits and I had time off. And when I was going to leave and be in my worth for the first time and really use this formula towards career, I had my mom coming in at me that was like, Lacey, you have benefits. You know, we come from such deep lack mentality. And she was always a waitress and then became a paramedic. And, you know, she was like, don't do it. And I was just like you. That's when I learned the terminology manifestation boundaries, where I was like, I can't tell people they don't get it. So I have to stick with this and do it. And I only had at that point, I think $4,000 in savings. I paid off debt and 3 months of unemployment. And I made that jump because I was ready. But it does go, it speaks to the manifestation boundaries. Like, do not share it with people who lovingly are just going to protect you or who envy you or any of those good things. And look at, like, I wouldn't have any of this now or any of this wouldn't be happening if I had stayed small and scared and not in my worth.
I have a question for Grace, because I feel like Grace, you're a huge expander for me on this, but, and also under the, within the theme of self-worth, it's, I think the hardest thing that I had when I, like, becoming a freelancer is how do you, when you're not so sure, if it's, if, you know, it's a new thing you're not so sure you're in your worth about, how do you value yourself? Like, if someone asks you how much to charge for, you know.
You're asking the Aries manifest?
Yeah.
That's why she's an expander.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But, like, when how is she in her worth? Well, I guess, like, that's true. But I guess it's just a question for all of you, because yeah. you both also experience this, but it's like, how do you value your, how do you put a number sign on your service when you're not quite sure if you.
Yeah. Well, I think it definitely varies and you need to look at clients differently depending on what you want to gain. So, like with Lacey, for instance, like you're a huge expander for me and I was really passionate about the cause and excited about it. So that's something where I was like, I'm going to get my foot in the door and the experience is more important than saying like, it's a gajillion dollars, right?
Like even Grace started off intern with a little bit and then yeah, you proposed pay.
Totally.
And we did.
Yeah.
And then,
so
yeah,
when I started working here, I think it was like graphic design intern. And I'm an Aries manifestor, so I emailed and they emailed back right away. But that's not common, I think. So I was like, I'm not intern level, but I'd love to like support this. I love manifestation, this, that, and the other. Got on the phone. And for me, a lot of times I have to get my foot in the door as a graphic designer, even though I have the strategy background. And I feel like that's a higher value skill. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's tough to come at people and be like, I just have good ideas, you know? Right. So if you have kind of like a hard skill you can offer, and then you kind of strategically show your value, you can grow into kind of a bigger position. But if it is kind of like a bigger corporate client or someone you know has more money, I think you need to assess like, how much do they think they need to pay? Like how much would they be willing to pay mm-hmm. somebody else? And not just like saying, oh, it'll only be $20 an hour because you think you're the cheaper option, because no one ever values the cheaper option more. Right. So I think definitely like looking at the clients, thinking through what their budget is. I always alter my budget according to what I think they have. So if it's someone I know has like venture money, I'm going to say it's a lot more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I do, they're like, yeah, no problem. And I could have just said it was $20 an hour and then that's all I would have been making. So I think you need to assess client like experience and value you want to get out of it. And then like asking around is great. Like look at other people in your industry, mm-hmm. like candidly ask how much they're charging or go stalk their websites. I think kind of ignore anything online because yeah. nobody that like expands you is like writing in forums with their salary.
Yeah.
So I think, did that answer your question?
Yeah. So it's almost like you kind of separate it from, you know what you're offering.
Yeah.
And you kind of separate it from like my, what I get wrapped up. And I'm asking this just because I've had a few people ask me this on Instagram and I never know how to answer because I think it's hard. It's easy for me with to be like, well, I'm not as good as like that person or I can't offer as much as that person. So like, I'll only do it for this, you know, like
yeah.
it's easy to get kind of hold up into that.
I think that's interesting because, so I'm like a quote unquote creative, but then I'm not necessarily an abstract, like super artistic, like mood boarding and shadow creative kind of person. And for a while, I always held myself up against like the super creative design students or like that art person that would make something really abstract with meaning only few could understand. And like, that's not always marketable or valuable to people.
Yeah.
Or scalable for a
yeah,
company.
Right. Totally. And like if somebody is paying you to do something creative, usually it's more like on the rational creative side, unless you're like really working with somebody who has an artistic vision or you're working for yourself and delivering that. So I found that my competitive advantage is that I can deliver something that makes sense. I'm not just being like, oh, like these photos could be abstract and beautiful or like the color red, mm-hmm. like really resonates with your values. Instead, like I think through it holistically mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about like, is this appealing to the right people? Is it going to make sense on multiple platforms? So I think even though you might be comparing yourself and thinking like, oh, she's much better than me, like your specific skill set and what you can deliver is going to be valuable to the right subset of mm-hmm. people. So I would stop comparing and then instead think about like, what types of clients could offer the type of work that you do.
I think in your heart too, when I think of you, Liza, is you're like a romantic artist, you know, or you romanticize that thing of like writers and then you give a lot of value to people who are filling that out. But I think also the track you've been on here, and then you do, you know, you do a lot of romantic energy on your own, but the track you're on here is so marketable in so many ways and then will be so applicable to whatever you do that is more romantic and artistic. And I think a lot of people who, you know, are artists, they lack a lot of that. Like I would see that in my ex a lot. He didn't have a lot of the practicality in business and he's so creative and talented. Mm-hmm. So I think when you can have that balance, like even, you know, referring back to Grace, the shitty thing is you're a really good graphic designer and you're good. So it's like, you know, it's hard. It's so marketable. Mm-hmm. But I think for any artist out there listening or also anybody who's, you know, hardcore business, I think the true balance is in the two because then you can waver between them. And it's so scalable, marketable, entrepreneurial.
And fund your own artistic ventures because, man, that's hard to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you are an artist, I think there is a sense of ego with like, I don't want to devalue my work by doing something that's like in the style of a client, or I don't want to like dilute myself by being a graphic designer when really like I'm a painter or a multimedia artist.
Or I don't want to market. That is something I would see a lot.
Totally. And I had friends in college that were like so creative and amazing, but they like refused to do anything that was marketable. And then that's where like the poor artist mentality comes from. And it seems like a lot of times there's a sense of stubbornness and a sense of ego there. But I think if you really want to parlay your creativity into making money, you have to be willing to compromise and see that like maybe that is ego and maybe like you could balance both if you were willing to kind of do something that could serve others better and then find an outlet for that like really creative self-expression. And then hopefully at some point you can merge those skills because you'll learn how to sell what you're doing, how to create something of value, hopefully how to put it on the internet or social media or whatever. And then maybe it can serve your artistic endeavors better.
Caitlin, are you willing to share your experience? Because you're an entrepreneur and I think it's really expansive.
Yeah. So right before this job, I owned my own studio. It was a wellness studio. At least that's like what I started with is I did personal training myself. And then we would host like wellness events that would come through. And looking back when I first started it, I feel like a lot of the reason I started it was out of ego and wanting to, I never knew what my purpose was or my path was before that. Or I dropped out of college because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I felt like if I owned my own business, my parents would take me seriously and I would know I was doing something important and it would look really cool to be really young and own my own studio. And then as I got into it, it made me happy for a little while. And then it slowly just like made me really unhappy and drained all of my finances. And it got to a point where towards the end of it, I was mentally like so done with it, but I didn't even really know how to get out of it. And the universe just kindly like shoved me out of it because my landlord came back and wanted to increase my rent by a ton of money that I couldn't afford. And I was always so broke anyways, because I was just like hustling and I have generator energy, but like for me, when I'm not lit up by something, it's like the most soul sucking thing to do something that I don't love. So it was just, I was so drained energetically and then financially. And then when the landlord came and wanted to like triple our rent, I was like, I have to go. And so this is, and it was it's so interesting because people's response to it, because from the outside, it still looked really cool. And I was living the life that I wanted to live. And people were so sad for me. And it was like, I was so happy and I felt so much relief. Like it was like, I could breathe again. I was like, it's over. Like I'm done. I don't have to like, I'm ready to close that chapter. And so my bridge job between that and this, because I started as an intern too, like Grace, but it was just to get my foot in the door because I wanted to be a part of this company, was to just keep personal training. And I'm renting space out of like a little studio from someone else downtown that costs nothing. So I was able to finally like pay all my bills and just work as hard as I could on this team until a position opened up. And I could just get in there.
We're so grateful. And you have to follow Caitlin. Give us your handle.
Oh.
You'll be so inspired to get
my coffee every morning. It's at Caitlin Curiosity on Instagram.
Because you learn so many great exercise moves recipes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Thank you.
Totally. And what was the self-worth ego die-off for you like? Like, what was that process and what tools do you have for people who might be in that position now?
So the self-worth ego die-off, I guess to me, my biggest one is always like, I was never like, it's all childhood stuff because I was never cool. I was always super introverted. I was overweight. I never had any friends. Like, I was literally the girl in high school that would eat by herself, like in the library. Like, I had no friends. And so I think for me, I never bought certain things or did certain things because I didn't think I was cool. And so I think for me, the ego dance is like either doing certain things to be seen as cool or like being friends with certain people to be seen as cool. And it turns out to be like a really toxic situation. Yeah. I was really going through like going through the rut. I went through that and like finding my authentic code and like really knowing what like who I am and what makes me happy and what lights me up. And then kind of circling it back to human design to like really just what lights me up. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest yes or no for me is like, does this light me up? Nope. Okay. Easy. Like done. I can shut it down. But the die off is really hard and I'm still going through it and it's a lot better now, but it literally, the only way I can describe it is it feels like a detox because the people, like those people leave your life, even like wanting to leave my apartment, like just certain things that are dying off and I'm moving from one shell to the next.
You're between the crab shells and she's a Cancer generator. So it's really timely.
It's uncomfortable, but I know that like it feels good. I get excited by growth. So it's like as much as it like I want to resist it, it's also so exciting.
That's how I am too. And that's actually a really good topic to touch on because we see that a lot where people are afraid to do the work because they're scared that it's going to be too heavy or they're going to have to go through growth and kind of like the shit, the muck you have to walk through, but to get to the rainbow. And I used to be like that big spiritual bypasser, really afraid. But boy, when you dig in and you go through the shittiest, hardest ego die-off unblocking, it's so magical. And then you start to get, you crave, you're like addicted to growth at that point.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital JOURNEY, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through if you're calling in a career opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in. And of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting. And it gives you access to all of the Unblock villages that are meeting up around the world. So you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood. And you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
What about you, Kate? What do you have to share on any of these topics that have come up?
Well, on what you were just saying about people being like hesitant to get into the work, it's been really cool because I've talked about my mom, I think, a little bit. You guys have heard about it. And she has been doing this work now with me, which is like really cool to do it with her. But she sort of went through that phase of paralysis where she was not able to, she felt the resistance to do the DRE and do the work. But it was so cool to watch her because she went through kind of a time where it did feel really heavy. And I'd even be on the phone with her and I could feel the heaviness in her because she was digging up so much of her, you know, trauma from the past. And so, but now that I think she has worked through a lot of it, she's a different person.
Wow.
When I went home this past weekend, she just is like
radiant and like she just looks like herself.
She's a generator too.
Yeah.
Generator.
Yeah. I know. And so I'm so excited because I think she's getting her magnetism back and it's so amazing to see. And like it's in part, you know, due to this work. And
wait,
so
you
so
have to follow us up on the biomat.
Oh my God.
The story got so much better. So if you didn't listen to our very first process episode, we go through, Lila and Kate go through what they've been manifesting lately. And Kate was just talking about how she was going to pick up this biomat that she manifested for cheaper on Craigslist.
Yeah.
But it gets so much better. Listen to this.
So I show up at this guy's house in Newport and he turns out he is Tony Robbins, like secondhand man. And so he speaks at all of the Tony Robbins events with Tony. And so we get talking and he'd heard of Lacey. And so that was like a really cool in because
what?
He was like,
what?
And he was like, oh, of course, Lacey Phillips.
What?
I can't believe I didn't tell you this.
I'm like, I'm a
child. Yeah, I know. So we bonded initially over that. And he, you know, was asking me all these questions. And he was like, oh, I'm, you know, so interested in the psychology of manifestation. So we end up like going to his office and just sitting and talking for 2 hours.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, it was so incredible. And he kind of told me, he was such an expander for me. And he told me sort of like his story and gave me all this like,
expand us,
quirky advice. He was like, write a book immediately. It was one of his weird pieces of advice.
Wow.
He goes, as soon as you have a book published, you're an expert. I don't care if you need a ghostwriter. I don't care if you know nothing about the topic. Just get it out there. And I was like, okay, weird advice. First of all.
Sounds like, see, that goes back to business and creativity.
Yeah, sounds solid.
But I'm on the like 10-year book track. I'm like,
oh my God, I know. You're going to have to tell us how that's going too. But yeah, we ended up just like talking for 2 hours and it was just so lovely. And towards the end, he goes, you know, like, I think you have a lot of potential. And I'm like, cool, thanks. That's what nobody wants to hear. You could do great things.
Yeah,
you could. You suck right now. But anyway, he goes, do you want to come to the next Tony Robbins event? And I was like, sure, why not? Not thinking he would follow through. And then last week I got a text from him just being like, hey, you should get your invite in your email today. And then I ended up getting an extra ticket for my mom. So she's coming.
Oh, wow. So magnetic.
I know. Think about the magnetism.
What was his other advice? It sounds so great for anybody.
Super great entrepreneurial advice because he pretty quickly got into the self-help world. So he kind of met Tony in his 20s. And came up at the same time as him. But it was so interesting because he came from a psychology background. I think he's like a PhD in some type of psychology. So he came at it from that perspective. But he said it was so scary to initially start working with clients, which you probably experienced too, like first starting out.
Not really. It was more for me when I first started out with clients was navigating how I wanted to position the session, which
right.
I changed many times because I was like, at the time I knew I had a formula, I knew I had these tools and all this stuff, but I didn't know how to hone it into a session. So I had to kind of work individually and like go with what, and then I started to really go, oh, super projector. So I was like, I could see how this could work for kind of everybody, even though you still have to tailor and stuff. But actually sessions were just my school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your process for actually creating your method was just based on your observations from your sessions?
Totally.
Is that how you did it?
That's actually really good information for anybody who's out there working with any type of person. It doesn't have to just be in wellness, but so I was so poor one Christmas and I kept getting the download where it was like, you have to put this into the world.
Right.
You have this gift, you see it differently. And I was so scared, but I just like put it on the blog as a blog post one day, totally random. I help people with manifestation, you know, and I put it out and people started to write right away. And so I had no idea what I was going to do, but I knew it would just be sort of like psychology, just talking it out with them.
Right.
And as I continued, because it was only 2 years that I saw people. And as it continued to develop. So that's really good for anybody out there. You don't at all have to know exactly how it's going to look. Don't let perfectionism hold you back. I had no fucking clue. And like you, Caitlin, the universe was like, get out of the nest. You're doing it now because I'm not giving you anything until you do. And so
over time, I kept going like, oh, that structure works better. And then I started to see the formula as a whole. And then I was like, oh, I see what the first workshop could be. And so I started doing that all over the place. And then I started to like give people books they could read and do that. And I'm like, oh, but if only they could extract these 10 little pieces from it. And I had very busy clients that were like, Lacey, I don't have time to read a whole book. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to extract this information and how it applies to manifestation. And then that's what parlayed into Unblocked. So that's just a really good piece of advice for somebody who's out there. Do not let perfectionism hold you back. Do not let it hold you back, especially if you're feeling the call, the ping, it's strong and it's getting stronger. Do not let that hold you back.
I think that's such incredible advice that I really needed to hear because I am so that way. I'm like, if it's not perfect, I'm not putting it out into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, yeah, that's probably a self-worth issue I need to work on. But
totally. No, I mean, cool. And Virgo.
Yeah, and Virgo, so perfectionist, natural. Totally.
And what? I'm sure like we've all thought about like imposter syndrome and you look at everyone and you're like, who am I to be giving anybody advice? Right. And I think the biggest thing I've like told friends and realized is that like at the end of the day, like there's no such thing as an expert. Like everybody's truly just figuring it out as they go.
I don't care how much school you have, your PhD, you're still just figuring it
and
out.
And like even like with any of us, you can't even necessarily give someone advice because they have a whole different story, all different programming, different skills, different science, different human design. Totally. So what you put out there is going to resonate with the right group of people and it's not going to resonate with another subset of people, and that's totally okay. And it doesn't mean you're an imposter or you're not an expert and you should just get rid of that. Totally.
I believe everybody truly has imposter syndrome when they're going through anything new, any transition. Mm-hmm. Like you were touching on, Lila, how do you know what's all, you know, all of that? It's so...
You just don't know. Mm-hmm. You just have to go for it.
Jump off the cliff. Yeah. Literally jump off of the cliff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What about you, Lila? Has this sparked any other topics for you?
Not immediately. I guess I'm just, it is really interesting to see how self-worth really plays into how you show up in like a career or in what you have to offer and how like, you know, I feel like a lot of people can find value in their accomplishments and maybe turn that into like where they feel like they should be sourcing self-worth from, which I think is also easy to get sucked into these days with everyone becoming, you know, on Instagram, you see all these people who all of a sudden it looks like they're accomplishing so much. They have a million followers. They have beautiful photos. They're getting sponsorships and that's awesome. But it's like learning how to, I don't know, have to feel like you need to compare everything that you're doing with everyone else now that it's so visible and really just, yeah, you might be able to speak more on this too, but like with self-worth, really learning how to separate that from superficial
validation.
Evidence. Yeah. Or like feeling like you can't have high self-worth if you don't like, I don't know.
I think in a certain way. A good precursor to that and to go back into that is if we kind of go around the table and if we just think for a minute, how us jumping off the cliff from a job we hated or a company that was, you know, dragging us down. If we look at the formula and implement our steps, how it's applicable can be very expansive. And then once we see that, because not all of us have 1,000 followers here, right. I think it can be very expanding for us to then touch on how that stuff isn't really that important if you position it correctly. So maybe we can kick off with you, Grace, like looking at the formula or Unblocked in general, and you touched on it a bit. Can you sort of plug in how the steps you intuitively took fit it?
Yeah, totally. So the first step, I think if you're thinking about making your list in the manifestation process and how that's really like when you're gaining clarity, thinking through all the things you want in your life, in your job, what you want to manifest, etc. I started when I was at my full-time job to think about like all the things I needed to feel happy and accomplished. And one of those things for me was freedom and autonomy. And at my job, I had experienced actually a lot of ageism, which really like brought down my self-worth. So I was like really confidently bringing ideas to the table. And there was a girl who straight up was like, you are less experienced than me. So unless your opinion's based on fact, it doesn't matter.
And you still have shadow. You deal with that.
Totally. And I still deal with it. Yeah. And actually like freelancing, it's easy for me to hide behind the phone where like I have a loud authoritative voice, but nobody's looking at me and being like, she looks young or whatever, because they do have like a very youthful look. But anyways, I feel like addressing those shadow aspects as well, like feeling like I'm too young or I'm not an expert or my mom says I won't be able to make enough money or who am I to like tell anyone what to do with their business is another component of it. So it's like making your list. What do you need? Looking at the shadow aspects that are holding you back. And then I think as you work through that, getting to the point where you're ready to jump off the cliff. And then for me, passing the tests were literally like, I had 5 meetings with the CEO. Everyone at the company was meeting with me. They offered me a really like awesome title and all of these shiny carrot dangling things. And it could have been so easy for me to be like, yeah, I'll take that. That's great. Like I'm young anyways. Like I'm your honored shadow. To have that, yeah. You know, like mm-hmm. I should be so grateful that they offered me this thing. And it's not until you can really say no and like pass those tests, I feel like when the beautiful horizon is on the other side.
I agree.
And you will be successful when you do that. I just like really believe if you jump off a cliff and if you pass all of those tests, like opportunities will pop up. And
but have a bridge job
if totally.
You don't, and also have a fuck you fund.
Yeah. And like for transparency, like I've been freelancing for like the past 6 years, but like in a very like a small part-time capacity. I never even considered doing it full-time. So I had like a little network of people, but all of a sudden it was like people were reaching out. Like,
so you had your bridge
for me
while you were at the job.
Yeah. So I think like always keeping my hand in something and then going through those steps of like making the list, addressing the shadow, jumping off the cliff. And then there was goodness on the other side.
The rainbow.
Yeah.
The pot of gold. What about you, Caitlin? How does it all fit in for you?
So for me, I had to get through the biggest shadow for me was being a failure and being like a loser and being seen as that. So I really had to like get through that shadow and go through that. And it's interesting because at the time when everything closed down and I was making the jump, I didn't have a fuck you fund at all. So I knew I needed the bridge job. And I had no idea what I was going to do afterwards. So I cast a list, like how Grace was talking about. And freedom was one of the biggest things on there for me. And I always thought that by owning my own studio and business, I would have the freedom that I always wanted.
Oh my God, no.
And it was the exact opposite.
You're married.
It is literally like a marriage. And I never felt so trapped. And it was the exact opposite. So I craved freedom. I craved financial freedom. I craved a team again because I didn't have a team. I was just working on my own and I didn't realize how lonely that was. I thought it would be like, I'm just independent. Like it'll be great. So I had to like make that list. And then the tests that came through for me, a lot of them were actually either like romantic partnership and me standing in my worth and communicating what I wanted and not, and I've never done that before in any kind of partnership. Like I've always just let people walk all over me in friendships and romantic relationships. And that was the first time I took really big, I like passed really big tests. And then that's when the rent got raised, I got pushed out. And it's just I shared this with Becky and I think I've told you guys before, but the day I closed the studio was the day that you guys listed the opening for the intern
Whoa.
Position. And I was so tired because I was like moving things all night and I was exhausted. And I just like put together like the prettiest, like aesthetic resume that I could and
Wow.
like sent it over. And it, like, I think Becky responded like within the day. And
Becky's so glad. We're all so glad that Becky's like,
oh my God. Come to the rescue.
And I love, like, I really want to hit this home for anybody listening. That's how love and money are connected always.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be challenged with tests exactly pertaining to what you're manifesting. And in fact, they usually come at you from all angles.
Totally.
So wherever you have, quote unquote, what we're talking about, the lowest self-worth, or it'll come like where you have the lowest self-worth or what you're led by the most. So if you're the person who's like, love is your thing and that's where the universe is like, ooh, let's mm-hmm. test this person out if you're calling in a job, you know? So I love that you touched on that for the person who may be experiencing those. They don't have to be directly connected.
Totally.
Yeah. Amazing. What about, I think you guys might've even touched on it a little bit in the last
yeah,
process.
Yeah, I think we did kind of share. But the one thing that kind of came up for me, I mean, I, in terms of self-worth, I was definitely
tested in like my, I found a lot of self-worth in pleasing other people. I've always been very codependent in that way. And so for me, it was really hard for me to leave this job where I was very unhappy because my boss had taken such an interest in mentoring me, but in a very like strange, it was a very strange dynamic. I'd feel like such a star when he would compliment me and, and give me like direction, tell me that I could do like all these amazing things. But then it also, then it would come down so hard when he would get really mad at me. And so it was a lot of worth was tied up in him. And when I wanted to quit, I confided in him and he was like, talked to me on the phone for 2 hours and said all these amazing things to me and like made all these adjustments for me to stay. And that was a huge test and I did not pass it. And he told me that he asked me to give him 3 months and I gave him 3 months. He didn't tell anyone else in the company that I was quitting. And then 3 months came around and he still hadn't told anyone or posted any job. And this was another test that I then again failed. But I was, because I wanted him to, I was so scared of upsetting him, even though I was so ready to get out. Finally, I just, my roommate, who I was also working with at the time, had to help me. But I was able to, you know, I felt that ping so strongly one night where I almost threw up. I was like, I can't go another day like this. And so we wrote an email and sent it. And I was so scared, like they were going to be so mad at me. But because I couldn't separate at that moment, my worth was I was so in such a low worth, it was low self-worth place. But they responded and were like, great, like all the best to you. But I learned through that whole experience that, you know, you have to be patient with yourself. Because if you're in this place of really low self-worth and you are beating yourself up for not being able to stand up for yourself, you're just I was just digging myself into a deeper hole because I learned from that, like, you know, you can feel the ping to leave, but be patient and know that like you are going to reach where you're meant to reach. And you just have to, you can't beat yourself up when you're.
Yeah. When you're in the fire, eventually it's going to burn enough. You have to go to that darkest place to really learn, you know, and if you preemptively try to, it'll come back at you again. So I like that you touched on that.
And there's never a right time to quit. Right. I think like that's the
never
biggest
right
thing.
Time to leave your partner, never a right time to quit.
And everybody has so many excuses.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like I'm in the middle of a project or so-and-so, I'm going to let them down or
like next
I don't have
holiday.
All my shit together. Yeah. But you just have to think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you look at your work experiences, how many people come and go and like they leave you in the dust and you have to pick up the slack or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, things happen all the time. It's never going to be convenient for everyone. So you just have to honor yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think intuition plays a really big part. Like I've always had that moment where you finally wake up one day and you're like, this is it. It's the time. You know,
that's so like what happened to me that night. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, you hit your threshold.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me in like leaving relationships, leaving jobs. And I think trusting in that will come too, you know, or the universe will
push you.
Which is all it loves to do as well. I agree. What about you, Kate?
I guess just off of that, the other thing I want to say is that if you are in a situation where you have to stay somewhere, so like whatever the limiting circumstances, for me, it was that I had committed to my boss and I told her verbally, it wasn't a contract, but I told her verbally that I would stay for a year and I loved her and I respected her and I was going to stay. I was super unhappy.
Yeah.
I hated the job, but I felt like morally obligated to stay. And so, but I think what the important thing to know is that you can still be like raising your self-worth and like you can still be learning from the pain when you're in it. And so that you're not stuck and it doesn't mean you can't do this work and it doesn't mean that you can't grow and become more magnetic in the current situation that you're
totally
in, you know?
You just kind of have like a little shield around you from all the things that can come through
totally.
And the moment you break out. But I think some of the, you know, the most magical things are when I've been in the shittiest relationships, like self-worth on the floor, the shittiest jobs, because boy, when you let go of those, it's like,
it's like a waterfall that comes. So.
Totally. You absolutely can. And it's just another version of that running into the fire deeper while doing, you know, the work, doing the work. And that's what I like to say for people too. When you're in that type of dynamic where let's say you're stuck in a situation that makes you small and you are actually doing the pathway work, what's happening in that situation is you're building up, I like to say like a magnetism bank. So it's like all of this equity is just waiting for the moment you let that go. And it's like, and you'll probably get some big tests. And before we pivot into the social media aspect, because I think that's a really important closer for this for everybody, because we feel so much pressure in this day and age. I don't care what job you're in, what school you're in, what's going on. It's just in your face and, you know, constantly.
at you is let's talk about, and we touched on this a little bit in the first episode, but I think this could be one of the most supportive aspects of this conversation for somebody listening, how our magic darks might have looked in different career situations, how we navigated them in those times and what they felt like. I think that's very helpful because a lot of people get very confused about if they're in a magic dark or, you know, if they're just being tested, and it's a very clear thing when you felt it. So maybe we can touch a little bit on some magic darks that you have been through before what you've wanted to come through.
Totally. This reminds me one time I was kind of chugging along with my freelance thing and I had the opportunity and it was like really like starting to become more apparent that it wasn't the right thing for me. And I was getting really burnt out and like wasn't feeling my best and I wasn't able to contribute my best work. It became apparent to me that like I wasn't being offered what I was worth. And instead I was like expected to like be so alert because of all the ego aspects of it. And finally, I just like, I had a lot of sessions with Dani Beinstein and she really like cheerleaded me along and helped me like work up the courage to quit. And so I finally quit. I was feeling really good. And then it was like dark for like 3 weeks. It was like no clients. Like I didn't have any of the freelance clients I had before. I had said no to all of them. Like I sent emails to like maybe 40 people and I usually get responses back right away. Ooh, wow. I didn't get a single response. Wow. And I was like, wow, like I really just need to marinate in this. And I was like laying around a lot, like watching a lot of Netflix, feeling really down. Like this is over for me, I guess. Like nothing's ever going to come through. And then I think 3 weeks went by and then finally like someone wrote me back and then the next person wrote me back. And then all of a sudden I had like so many clients, I like didn't know what to do with them. And I was talking to Dani about it and she was like, because you stepped into your worth and said no, you needed that integration period. Because mm-hmm. I was like getting an upgrade. And like, if I had in that magic dark period been like, oh, I'm applying for a new job or I'll just say yes to the co-foundership or whatever it is, I wouldn't have come out the other side totally. And like had a more successful freelance career. So I think that was really the biggest time recently where I've experienced it.
I love that. And did you have any tools during that time or did you know of this process at all during that time?
Totally. Yeah. I was really doing like the shadow work to know that I don't have to be subject to those things holding me back, like my age or my experience or if I'm an expert or whatever, because I was starting to feel like if I said no to this opportunity, like who am I to do that? You know what I mean? And does anyone want to work with me? Like just really getting down in the depths about it. And I think doing shadow really helped me kind of like step out of all those shadowy aspects and knowing about the manifestation process and that I was in the magic dark.
Awesome.
And sticking with it as opposed to just like going AWOL and like deciding to do something else.
Totally. And it's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah.
That was a really great example of it. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have that example?
Mm-hmm. Not as strongly. When I think back to a magic dark, I think that what comes up for me is right after college, I graduated early and I was so frugal. I've talked about this before, but like so scared to spend money all throughout college. And finally, since I graduated early and I was given free housing in DC, I just decided to go travel. So I was really scared to do it, but really excited. And I traveled for 2 months and that like that big step to me was, it felt like a very, you know, they say travel is a life changing, whatever, but mm-hmm. it really like, that facing my fear of like totally going off on my own, actually spending the money that I've worked so hard to spend, not saying that like spending all your money makes you magnetic, but it was symbolic in a sense where it was really me stepping into my worth and being like, no, I deserve this.
Yeah. It's the opposite creates the medicine, yeah, the exactly. magnetism.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had a safety net in the sense that I was returning to this nanny job that I had where I would make a lot of money that summer as soon as I got back. And I knew I was in a safe space to spend all that money as well. But was, yeah, for me, that was a huge step. But when I came back, I was like all excited to apply for jobs and nothing, literally not a single person responded to me.
So, wow.
And I wanted to move to LA, but I was really scared because there was never a right time. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, like the family needs me next month, like maybe the month after, even though it was something I really wanted to do. But it was like this period of really needing to not let all these insecurities of now being like reborn, you know, birthed into the world on my own. Like all it, I don't know. It felt very, looking back now at the moment, you know, I didn't have this vocabulary to really understand it fully, but looking back, it was such a magic dark because I really had to be tested. Like, am I going to retreat back to just staying in this nanny job in DC for a little longer while all my friends are still here? Or like, am I going to like hold on to all my money again and not make this huge move to LA? But my friend had gotten an extra ticket to Coldplay and she was like, just come to San Francisco. And I like took that as a big jump to make this new move. And as soon as I did that, the job that I had for a year fell into my lap and everything just kind of snowballed into what I had been manifesting without mm-hmm. realizing. But I really had to go through those few months of just not having anyone respond and feeling like maybe I should just stay in DC. Like, clearly I'm not going to get a job in LA. Like, maybe I shouldn't move yet. All of these insecurities that came up, but staying on track and yeah, saying yes to what felt right helped me in the long run.
It's true. It's a good example as well.
My magic. Oh,
no, sorry, go ahead.
I think, so I manifested my last apartment. It was this amazing one bedroom in Santa Monica with the most incredible landlord and property manager ever.
This is so unheard.
Unheard. Yeah. It was $500 less than any other one bedroom I looked at. It was insane. So, and it turns out it was within walking distance of a job that I hadn't even gotten yet.
Wow.
Literally two blocks away from the job.
Jeez,
it was insane.
What a flow.
I know, insane. So, but beforehand, I had been living, so it was the summer after I graduated from college, and a friend of mine was the house manager at a fraternity. And so I lived in the fraternity.
Wow.
And so there were cockroaches in my room. There was also a stripper pole installed
just
in
case.
My room. Yeah. Guys, it's so hard. I did a YouTube tutorial one day and I had bruises everywhere.
Oh yeah. No, that's an art, man. That's an art form and strength.
Like, yeah. Honestly, mad respect. But anyway, so then I ended up, once I moved out of the frat house, I still was looking for a place. And I had been staying with my friend's parents for 2 weeks. And I was so mad that I hadn't found anything yet because I was on all of the websites, you know, to look for an apartment. And so what I did, because I knew that I think my brain was just so jumbled, was I got in my car, I packed up my camping gear, and I went to Yosemite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at full circle.
Because for me, I mean, and I know it's different for different people, but nature is always my clarity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I like go spend a week in nature, I come back and everything falls into place. Mm. And it's been a pattern for me. So I go for 2 days. The day I come back, I'm on a run and I run by this place and the guy's like putting out the for rent sign.
Jeez, and I even on West Side
Rentals. I talk to him and it like he's like, oh, do you want to come see it?
What?
And literally on the spot. So it was pretty magical.
The pee to run.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's really expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move into the social media. I'll let you, Grace, because you had a really good you know, rant on that before. And I think it's really, you know, worth mentioning because I think both of you are micro influencers. Would you say that? Like you get free shit, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's good to talk on that.
Totally. So I've had like an interesting experience with Instagram. I think like a couple years ago, it was super fun. You know, nobody was really sharing like their beauty products or their tonics or their day-to-day, their workouts. Like, it was really cool to like take pictures of these like more content oriented things and like share your story. And I feel like now it's like super saturated. Everybody's doing that. But I actually got into kind of posting on Instagram because I was trying to do influencer outreach for a small food brand. And I realized like if I was cool on Instagram, when I emailed people, they're more apt to respond mm-hmm. because like they'd come back to my account, see I was cool, and then accept the product. So I like got really into growing the account and this, that, and the other. And so I kind of amassed a small following. And now I have like 10,000 followers. But the thing is, my account is like completely dormant. Mm-hmm. And I never post. Like, if you look back on my feed, every other post is like, hey, guys, sorry, it's been a while.
I'm back here. I'm back here.
And I don't know how, but I've like managed to get myself on a lot of like top micro influencer list, even though I never post. Like mm-hmm. Huffington Post, like the biggest like marketing agencies have stuck me on their list. So I get tons and tons of like people emailing me, like, can I send you product or can I interview you? And I'm like, I'm not even posting. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? So it's actually like funny to navigate like other people seeing that as your worth. But like, then I'm kind of like, what do I have to share? Why does anyone give a shit? Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't have a niche. Like I just coincidentally like decided to build this following years ago. And I really wrestled with the idea of like, I need to be sharing, like whether or not you have like 10,000 followers or 1,000 or 30,
you feel that pressure.
All this pressure to like share something super valuable or like make a contribution or speak up about a political issue. And the thing is like, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to join the conversation. You don't need to share your smoothie bowl. And like coming to terms with me being completely worthy, even if my account is completely dormant, has been kind of like a journey in itself, even though it sounds like kind of weird and superficial and like, what the heck? I can't believe that's an issue. I finally had to come to terms with like, maybe that's just not my thing, but it could be my thing next month or next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with just kind of like relinquishing that department of my life. And as a freelancer, I feel like a big avenue where people find me is Instagram. And like, this is, I guess, a tip, but like if your feed looks slightly cohesive, like you have good taste and things like that, I think that's always like a hook where people are like, oh yeah, your style resonates with mine, but doesn't necessarily mean like you have to be seen for like likes and comments and engagement and all of those kind of things. So yeah, I think that's one piece of it. And then the other piece is that that doesn't determine whether or not you're successful. Like you don't have to be having a million followers or posting every single day or curating the best content in order to have a successful business. And a lot of times we look at those who do have that and we think, oh, they're doing so much better than I am, or they're so much more legit or whatever. But just like leave the comparison game behind and focus on what you're good at and think about how you like to share. Because if you're being inauthentic and you're forcing yourself to post every day or something, it's not going to be received as well, right? And if you are kind of like gauging where you're at and sharing according to where your self-worth is and what you want to share and how you want to be seen, I think the outcome will be a lot better. And even for me, even though I don't share, I continue to get the outreach, I think, because I am being authentic, totally. You know, and I'm not like totally forcing it. So
I like that. Does anybody else have input on their thoughts on self-worth, entrepreneur, like anything, career, love, anything in social media?
I think it really does. I mean, it has to come down to the authentic, like authenticity, because for me, like my following is so tiny, but it hasn't been until the past few months that people actually want to send me stuff or like just even getting messages of like, I love your stories or I love your blah, blah, blah. And it's literally because I've stopped giving a shit of like what I wanted to look like. And I'm like, I'm just going to share the things that make me really happy, or which are like my dogs and coffee and me being weird. And it's just the being authentic. People are so like
drawn to,
yeah, drawn to that. And even on like a very, very small scale, like myself, it's just, it's stepping into that. And even like the biggest tip I remember, I don't know if it was like a blog post or what, like years ago, you had talked about like unfollowing things that just like clog up your feed and don't bring you joy and add to the comparison, and or people that like just are toxic. And I do that like every few months. I just go through, it's probably like once a month, and unfollow things that I'm like, this just doesn't light me up, or that's the best way to put it. And it's makes social media a lot more enjoyable too, because now when I go on there, it's like ceramics I want to look at, or like people that I'm actually friends with and seeing what they're doing. And
I love that. What about you guys? Because you both kind of go in and out of your Instagram
relationships. Yeah. I had gotten rid of my Instagram for, I don't even know how long it was, like 2 months maybe? Just because I had to pick one day to do it and I just impulsively got rid of it. I mean, I didn't delete it, but I disabled my my account. And I didn't miss it at all. It was so strange. It was like, I guess I'd never had, I've had a lot of shadow around being seen and a lot of shadow around like putting myself out there, because my biggest shadow aspect Kate and I kind of share is when it's like having other people think that I think that I'm like
totally.
And I still have a lot of that to work through, that's for sure. But it was, I don't know, it was really refreshing to not have that constant exposure to what everyone else was doing. And it was around the time where I had been like
ghosted pretty much by two different guys. And that's never happened really to me before. But I could like see that they're watching my story. So it was almost like I needed to just cleanse all of that like need for people to pay attention to me, but then being like embarrassed by the idea that I wanted them to pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know. It felt very multifaceted, if that's the correct way to put it. But yeah, I got rid of it and it felt great. But then one day I just had this pain to get back on, and I got back on and I kind of had like some shame, weirdly, like going back to Instagram. It was like, I succumbed to what everyone else is addicted to. And yeah. I always thought like, you know, I was better than that. But then I realized like, that's just was so superficial of me to even think that, because it's really what you get from it. And I was furnishing my apartments and I started following all these like home design mm-hmm. things. And it's not about like needing, it's learning how to separate like what you really want from it. Is it just the yeah. connection with friends that you may not live next to?
Or just expanders.
Or expanders. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Expanders are like cool workouts and finding new fun recipes and like mm-hmm. figuring out, you know, it's not all about how you're showing off yourself. It's like, what can you get from this platform? And maybe it is, especially with the creative field, it really is a place to have a portfolio and showcase your work. And if that's the case, then, you know, curate it how you want. But I think really figuring out how to like just get the most of it and use it as a resource rather than like having it really, I don't know, delegate yourself for it.
Mm. Totally. Do you have any notes, Kate?
The mute button is wonderful.
It is so wonderful. I was so happy when I discovered that.
Totally the best.
I just discovered it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been having a great time with it. Well, I had a friend, my friend Kelsey was telling me that the way that she decides who to follow is that she wants scrolling through Instagram to be like walking through her favorite art museum.
Yeah. Great.
And I loved that so much. And she was saying like, I'm only going to look at things that I find so beautiful or so inspiring mm-hmm. and nothing else. And so if that means like even muting people that you, you know, used to know, but would feel weird unfollowing.
Oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And like make it into something where it's kind of just like your mood board almost. Mm-hmm. And I use Instagram almost solely for like saving posts. Mm-hmm. And so I just have all these different boards of inspiration, and maybe someday I'll get back to posting on it. Yeah. But you know, it just doesn't matter.
I love like using this as a tool that actually benefits your life mm-hmm. and not feeling the pressure to have to engage in it the way that everybody else does or the way it's fed to us right. and all mm-hmm. of that. I think that's fantastic advice. And I do think that we're in such a lucky age and time that we have our own personal PR platforms if we need them for companies or
so true.
Any of that. But it's also so beautiful that we're at a place in time too where we can curate it to serve us. It's literally a subconscious curation because mm-hmm. we're, you know, we're totally hypnotized when we're looking at it. Totally. So it's like another form of, you know, DIing. So if you're just looking at all this shit that triggers you or makes you unhappy or blah, 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 you're just, you know, reinforcing to your brain, your shadows and your things. So if you can create it to be like the art gallery you want to walk through, it can expand you and be an incredible tool that speeds up your whole manifestation process. So that's totally. Primarily what I use it for too, is saving things.
Yeah, it's my fave.
On the flip side of the art museum concept, I bet you experienced this when you deleted the app. I feel like I usually just don't have the app on my phone and I just go to it on the computer. But I found that I become a lot more creative because you're not accidentally copying everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that.
You come accustomed to like you have all these images in your head or a graphic or a photo concept or whatever it is. And it's so hard to think of anything original or creative.
So
mm-hmm. And if you make the space for new ideas to mm-hmm. come in, it really does benefit whatever creative practice you have.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's wrap on that. That was a great conversation around self-worth, around career, really implementing some of the tools during that process, and wishing everybody a beautiful weekend from the retreat home.
Yay!
Thank you.